Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview with Mr. Wang Yang Lui on April 24, 1982, at San Luis Obispo by Sue Ellen Chen. This is tape 3. Charlie, I can call you Charlie here now.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yesterday we talked about your father came back from China with a strong disappointment,
mm-hmm.
and then he decided that he didn't want to go back again, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. What did he do then? He came back mm-hmm. and retired?
Yeah, just retired.
Mm-hmm.
He had a hard time getting back. I might point out I didn't mention it before, but he went to China mm-hmm. figuring that that was his last trip to China.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't have a passport
mm-hmm.
To come back
mm-hmm.
to the United States. So he went over there, and after he was so disappointed, the condition of the school,
mm-hmm.
perhaps principally,
mm-hmm.
that's what got him down, you know, because it was in such a dilapidated condition.
Mm-hmm.
He was so disappointed that they didn't keep up the school
mm-hmm.
That he gave to the village
mm-hmm.
Underprivileged children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after so many years, since he built it,
mm-hmm.
had it built for the community
mm-hmm.
or his village, he would say, that naturally, in the years gone by, that things are in a sad condition when he go back after such a long length of time.
Right.
So naturally he was so disappointed that he'll go back. What started it mostly, I think, is that he gave a big party
mm-hmm.
to the people of his village.
Yes.
Now, my brother Howard, he can tell better about
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
than I can, because he was there
yeah.
on the scene, and I think they have invited quite a number of people, perhaps around 2,000 people,
uh-huh.
had bamboo structures built for a sort of pavilion
uh-huh.
where they have this big feast for
uh-huh.
the people of the village.
Uh-huh.
And from what I understand, the bandits heard about this
mm-hmm.
rich person from the Gold Mountains.
Right.
Meaning the California coast here.
Right.
Pacific coast. That they were gonna either hold them for ransom or do something to them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they decided that my father and my two little brothers decided to better take off and,
uh-huh.
and skip the country. So they managed to get back to Hong Kong
uh-huh,
uh-huh. overnight,
uh-huh.
so to escape whatever fate they might have to face
uh-huh.
if they stay there.
Right, right.
So yeah, that was quite an experience, I imagine, you know, having robbers or bandits chasing after you.
So they got to Hong Kong and tried to get back to United States. They couldn't.
But he didn't have a passport.
Right.
Well, as we have been talking about, my dad being so well known and so well liked around here in this area, that he knows a lot of people. You know, for instance, he would ask the mayor of the town to help him to
get the paper.
Get some assurance to that he was from here.
Right.
And then it was called upon superior judge at that time, and he went up as far as the governor of California.
Who was the governor at that time?
Warren, I think.
Ah, Warren. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Governor Warren, and then he had a. Representative of the state council, congressman helped him. Congressman Jesperson, I think.
Jesperson. Jesperson, I see.
To help him. And besides that, we had to gather affidavits just to prove that he was really a person from this town, see. So we gathered about 1,600, I think.
1,600, wow.
Affidavits.
But the whole town loved him and respected him.
Respected him, yeah.
Really willing to come up and write
Toby, my brother Toby, can tell you more about that.
So he finally got out.
Finally got out. And
for how long he waited in Hong Kong?
About a month, I think.
So all the brothers on this end
were working
running around.
On this end, and pulling strings and all. So you know, imagine going over there without a passport.
I know. So he got back, and then he decided just to stay here. And did he do anything else?
San Luis Obispo was good enough for me.
Did he do anything else? He just retired, or
he
still
just
managed
took
to
it easy. He came here. He came home with a beard. He has always been clean shaven. You see pictures of him with clean shaven. That means that before he took his last trip to China. But every picture that you see of him with a beard means that it was grown
after
he took the trip, because we asked him why he grew a beard, and he said he had a dream one night that my mother said that all great people in China grows a beard, so you should grow one. So that's the reason why he let his beard grow.
Ah, I see. So.
So that was good.
Did he still continue running the store, Aloe?
Yes. Of course, that's that's his plaything. You might as well say. Because he doesn't sell very much. He don't need to, you know, because he just
Did anybody help him at that time after he came back?
Whoever was available. At that time, I was the one that can spend most of the time with him, because Howard was going to UC.
I see.
And he wasn't home very much, and my other brother was in the service, you know. He's a colonel, Fred, you know. He was a U.S. Colonel.
Mm-hmm.
He's now retired
mm-hmm.
after 20 years in the service.
Mm-hmm.
So he retired as a full-fledged colonel.
Ah.
And so, and then other brothers, they didn't have time. One of them was a musician. He was on the vaudeville stage.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister, Helen, she's back in Chicago.
Chicago.
And my other older sister, Ty, she was back in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there's no one around
to help you
that I help mm-hmm. because I help them in the daytime. At night, I go to work at the theater.
I see.
So it worked in. It worked out very nicely.
So when did he start getting sort of ill and got ill and when was that? Before he passed away?
Oh, we were, Stella and I, my wife Stella and I, took a trip to Chicago to visit my sisters back then.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was awake, I felt bad, you know, I felt bad because I was the only, living in upstairs. My wife Stella and I, were the only two that lived upstairs, and
uh-huh.
he was living down. My dad was living downstairs, and when we left him, well, he was by himself, you see. And I felt bad ever since because when we were away, he caught pneumonia and
uh-huh.
passed away when we were in Chicago. Oh. We drove a car back,
mm-hmm.
And we had trouble with the car, and we couldn't, when we heard that he had passed away,
mm.
we couldn't drive back in a hurry, so we had to wait until the car was fixed. So that delayed us 2-3 days
uh-huh.
before we can even start to come back.
That was like how many years after he came back?
About 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think 1933 he went.
Came
to
back.
China,
uh-huh.
Or and came back, and 1936 is when he passed away.
Oh, I see. So it's only 3 years.
About 3 years.
Yeah. Can we go back a little bit about his seeds farm? How he started the seeds farm?
Well, he had quite a few workmen left over from railroading or what have you, you know, and the people are idle, doing nothing around, and so he figured that I'll run a vegetable garden
mm-hmm.
or do farming or something that'll give him something to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he ran different parcels of land around here. First he started out with one or two places, few acres.
Uh-huh.
When I say few acres, I mean from 120 acres up to 1,200 acres.
Yes.
And for each piece of land,
uh-huh.
the smallest piece is about 120 acres
mm-hmm.
that I can remember to put these men to work. Yes.
Uh-huh.
See, so And so put them to do farm work, you know, and start out by growing potatoes and beans and onions and
mm-hmm.
that sort,
mm-hmm.
or on a vegetable line, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't grow table vegetable like you would ordinarily
mm-hmm.
think about,
uh-huh.
you know, but in a big way,
mm-hmm.
we grow hundreds of acres of onions,
uh-huh.
big onions,
uh-huh.
and put them in sacks, potatoes,
uh-huh.
and things of that sort, and grow beans, you see.
Uh-huh. So, actually, he started as a vegetable gardens, vegetable farm, and hiring all these Chinese,
mm-hmm.
and how did he get these lands? Are these lands very cheap? When he leases them?
He rents them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's all rented because the Chinese weren't supposed to buy any property or any restriction. Either that, I have two ways of thinking in those lines. The old thinking is that, well, the Chinese way of thinking, what I'm talking about. Make your fortune and go to China.
Right.
Why should we buy a lot of land? What I'm going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was the thought. So he has no desire to buy land,
mm-hmm.
although he can buy it very cheap.
Right.
In those days, you can buy an acre of land for $7 an acre.
Right.
And today, you can't buy one acre for $7,000.
No. So, but he must have a lot of money to even rent these lands, or it was just a very poor land that nobody wanted.
It could be,
uh-huh.
But he didn't have so much money
uh-huh.
that he could just pay out. He would go to the bank
uh-huh.
and to tell the difference between those days and today,
mm-hmm.
he didn't have to sign a note down at the bank. He can go and borrow money
mm-hmm.
and to operate his ranches.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go down to the butcher shop, for instance,
mm-hmm.
buy all his meat there,
mm-hmm.
and the butcher that he deals with would trust him
mm-hmm.
until the harvest is over, when he collects the money
and then return the money
and then pay him back.
Uh-huh.
No, they don't do that. You can't find anything of that sort today, you know.
No. Mm-hmm.
You gotta sign everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people are so trusty.
Right.
The butcher will trust you until the season is over, way in the fall when you sell your crop,
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know, whether it's potatoes or hay or barley or whatever you're growing.
Mm-hmm. Was this butcher Chinese butcher or American butcher, or it was just any friends that she had?
He's just a friend. He's a, just some of his friends. Oh, well, like I say, everybody in town knows
mm-hmm.
knows Al Louis.
Uh-huh.
So, and they trust each other, whether he buys provisions or in the grocery store, or buy meat in the butcher shop, or other commodities that he may required to keep his ranches going.
Uh-huh.
So
he got the money from his friends, and
mm-hmm.
also.
So that's the way it is. It's a cycle.
Right.
You borrow their money, borrow the groceries or what have you, to keep the farm going
uh-huh.
until the crop is sold
uh-huh.
and collect the money, and then go and pay back the bank and. And that's why he operates.
Uh-huh.
And as he goes on, he added from one ranch to another until he acquired about 8
uh-huh.
Seed farms.
Uh-huh.
That farm, he managed to have connections with some seed companies. Like the Northrop and King Seed Company in Minneapolis,
mm-hmm.
Hellwell Seed Company in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and Agler and Musser Seed Company in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
You remember the, you heard of Agler and Musser Seed Company where you come from, in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And and several other
sea
companies,
company. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Like Ferris and Morris,
uh-huh.
Sea Company.
He would grow the seeds for these companies to distribute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see.
These companies would take these seeds and put them in small packages.
Yeah.
We sell it to them. When I say we, I mean my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I do the bookwork and all
uh-huh.
that. So he would sell these seeds
by
hundreds of pounds
uh-huh.
a piece. Maybe at one time he had 8 seed farms going, as
uh-huh.
I was telling you.
Right.
Well, half a carload is a small order of one kind of seed.
Oh.
So you can imagine how much packages they put them in small packages and put them in the stores and sell them for 15 cents, maybe up to 25 cents a package of seeds
mm-hmm.
at that time.
Mm-hmm. So how did your father actually change from growing vegetable to seeds business? How did he make that kind of connection?
That's why, being Chinese, how did he get connection with these companies that would like to have him grow the seeds for him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he gets contracts doing that. In fact, it wasn't a contract, not a written contract like we would interpret the phrase. It's just a word of mouth. Okay, you grow. I would like to have you grow so many hundred pounds of certain variety of onions or beans or flower seeds,
uh-huh.
certain kind of flower, sweet peas or nasturtiums.
Uh-huh.
Oh, pardon. So
did he go to actually outside of St. Louis Obispo to sell these seeds, or they just come and
they come to him?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps he learned the seed company,
mm-hmm.
seed firms, learned that he was doing farming and now he can grow this. I believe he could grow certain kind of seeds for me.
Uh-huh. And they start requesting.
So they come
mm-hmm.
and to him from one to another.
Mm-hmm.
They get to know him
uh-huh.
that he grows seeds for in a large scale
uh-huh.
for seed companies.
Uh-huh.
So maybe some other seed company heard about it.
Uh-huh.
Well, if he's going to grow him for certain people, I'm gonna see if he can grow some for me.
Right, uh-huh.
So the second seed company come, you know.
I see.
So he was growing seed for some people in Germany
hmm.
and some people in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how he had to in a broad scale
uh-huh.
grow, known to be a seed grower.
Ah, I see.
So he, that's why he enlarges his
farm to eight farms.
Different farms.
Mm-hmm.
And
did he always have enough supply to these seed companies, seed firms, or he sometimes will be short of seeds and have to acquire from some other places?
Yes, if he has made arrangements, say, for instance, for an example, if he says, I want one carload of so many sacks
mm-hmm.
of small white beans, we'll say, just for an example,
right.
Okay. If his crop is not so good, you know. Mm-hmm. It would depend on the good Lord,
right.
and rain and so the weather and what have you, to give you a bumper crop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the crop is the season is bad, and he knows that he can't fill his order
mm-hmm.
from what he agreed to do,
mm-hmm.
he can't give this. We say, Mr. Smith, one full carload of beans, I now have to go someplace else to
mm-hmm.
acquire it,
mm-hmm.
to get enough to this variety of that he wanted.
Right.
So,
where would he go then?
We used to go different places. We go to nearby farms if we were getting enough. Find anything available among local farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And sometime we go for a certain variety of seeds.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go down to as far south as Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And then we used to go down Santa Monica, Fort Boulevard or someplace,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
A big avenue going towards the beach someplace. Mm-hmm. I remember there weren't any houses around to speak of around that time, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's all farmland, you see. So we would drive in from one farm to another,
mm-hmm.
one side, doesn't make any difference what side we go,
mm-hmm.
as long as we see, well, that looked like a patch of beans or whatever, you know, and we'll go and see what kind of beans, and if it matches up what we wanted to,
order to
mm-hmm. fill, yeah. So we make an arrangement to buy up
mm-hmm.
his beans to fill up the cargo.
Ah, I see. That was around, say, before 1930s or before
1920s. Yes, 20s, around the 20s.
Is it before the World War One or is after World War One, approximately, when you went down Los Angeles?
Yes,
to
I think it was around the turn of the century.
Oh, that far back, right?
Well, around in 1908 to 1909, around up to 15, around there, you know.
World War One. Yeah. So you will go down Santa Monica's, and then,
mm-hmm.
so did you, when you go down there, we can sidetrack a little bit. You go down Los Angeles, and visit the Chinatown there.
Yes. We visit the Chinatown there on. I remember we stayed with some friends, another Wong down there, living down on Apoblasa Street. We got quite acquainted with him because he takes us to the different parks. I remember take it to the Elysian Park.
Oh, yes, uh-huh. Elysian Park.
Westlake Park.
Uh-huh.
And different parks, Baldwin Park.
Uh-huh.
And for an outing, sort of an outing, only my dad and this fellow got quite chummy.
Ah, well, what was the Chinatown look like at that time when you visited?
It was a thriving little Chinatown.
Mm-hmm. Compared to the Chinese community here, you would think Los Angeles was quite
It wouldn't be as big as San Francisco. Well, we didn't go very far out of a certain area,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
just the one street, perhaps, maybe two streets, maybe a Central Street or Los Angeles Street,
mm-hmm.
right in there.
You have only one family of friends there, or
at
you
that
have
time, he may know my dad, I'm just a little kid.
Uh-huh.
I just go as an interpreter for, with the English speaking people, like the ranch owners around there, see.
Mm-hmm.
So I drive the car and go with them,
mm-hmm.
go along as an interpreter.
Interpreter.
Or we go down on the train and have somebody down there take us around, you know, horse and buggy.
I see. So it's like a horse and buggy era in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you start driving down to Los Angeles? It was much later days?
You mean how we get the transportation down
right.
there?
Uh-huh.
Through stables where they have horses
mm-hmm.
or an automobile, the old Model T Ford, you know.
Uh-huh.
And let's see, that was in 1913, around 11 to 13.
Okay.